The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap for this week's Masters. And joining me to break it all down, the man of the hour, the man that everybody's talking about, it's Kyle Porter. KP, what's up?
Yeah, it's not Justin Rose that everybody's talking about. It's Kyle Porter after day one of the Masters. You want to hear how this happened?
Of course, it's literally the number one thing. It's really the only thing on the outline. We're going to go rogue after that. It is all about, I don't know, probably like 7:30 my time this morning. I'm watching golf. I see Lee Westwood bend down to take a drop, and I see my guy KP right behind him, and that was just the start.
So I'm following DJ and the Westy DJ Strafacci group, and this ball like careens off a tree and goes behind me. And I'm like, oh, I'll get an up close look at, like, I thought they were going to have to play a flop kind of around a tree or maybe over the little TV tower that was right there. So I'm like, oh, I'll get a, you know, up close front row seat. And then all of a sudden I look across the way and there's a camera pointing right at me. And I saw this kind of in the middle of everything. I didn't really think anything. The only thing I thought was like, oh, maybe some of my friends that are watching on, you know, my shot will see, like, I don't know. We'll see me on there because I've got friends that like Westy. Here we go. If you're there watching YouTube, yeah. I did not realize I was doing this. I don't really think about how I stand. So to add to the story, I'm following DJ drop back with Rory's group. Rory hits his dad and with a ball on seven and we're standing right there. And Jerry, his dad, looks up. He's laughing about it. And he's like, I should ask him for an autograph. And so I'm like, oh, this is a great nugget. Like, nobody's out here. Like, nobody will have this. Right. So I'm running in after the front nine. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna blow up Twitter. You know, nothing's going on. This is going to be great. I'm going to just fire this off, blow up Twitter a little bit. Little did I know, the image of me watching Lee Westwood had already blown up Twitter all morning. Yeah. And I was, so here's how bad it got, Rick. My wife, not on Twitter, not on Instagram, doesn't do Facebook. I texted her and she said, you know, it's bad whenever I already know about it.
I was like,
how do you know about it? And she said that friends of hers had been texting her about it. It was not a good scene this morning. The best one. What's your favorite one here?
The one when eventually we get to Patrick Reed. So producer Jacob is going through all of these on YouTube right now. The one of you sitting like in the flower bush next to Patrick Reed is my favorite. I don't know how many we have to go through to find it, but that was my favorite.
There's a questionable one with Koepka. The Carson one with, go scroll up, producer Jacob, if you're watching on YouTube. The one with Carson right there, where it's Spieth on, yeah, right there.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Spieth on 12. That's pretty good. Scroll down a little, producer Jacob. The one with Koepka reading a putt under my legs right here. Okay. Go up.
Because that one's hard to find.
Yeah.
Right?
It's an Easter egg, it's hidden.
Yeah.
Koepka's reading a putt between my legs. And yeah, the whole thing was just, you know, I tried to lean into it because you don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, you know, acting too serious or whatever. So I thought we had fun with it. I thought it was good.
It was really good. And, we all know, I mean, you don't have your phone out there. Like that's the key. So we all know, like I'm dying inside. I'm like, he's going to get back. And he has no idea this is building. Like it was awesome. It was
amount of texts and WhatsApps that I had was just, I couldn't believe like what had transpired.
All right. Well, I'm sure we're not done with that because it's perfect. But for now, we'll put a pin in it. We'll talk a little bit of golf. And I want to remind you that CBS Sports is your home, as always, to watch DJ, Brooks, Rory, and all the action unfold at Augusta. Whether you're looking to watch on the range, featured groups, amen, corner holes, 15 and 16, all four rounds. And of course, the CBS broadcast over the weekend, it's all available on CBSSports.com and the CBS Sports mobile app, as well as Paramount Plus. The course looked hard, KP. It sounded hard. Like when balls were landing on greens, it was a distinct sound. It played nearly three shots over par. Koepka had a couple of comments about how much grass might actually be on the surface of some of these greens. What was your assessment up close?
I didn't see that Koepka quote. I wish I would have seen it now, because that's kind of what I've been thinking all week. And, you know, sometimes we do the thing before the tournament where it's like, oh, fast and firm, it's going to be crazy. And then even at Wingfoot, it was like, oh, there's like a bunch of guys shot 66 today, 65 today. That is not what this was. This was a U.S. Open at Augusta National, which is awesome. Do you have Koepka's quote in front of you?
I do. So Eric Patterson tweeted this out. He said, quote, "There's not much grass on a couple of those greens. On the back of six, there's no grass. And nine, I don't know if there is grass," unquote.
Yeah, I thought that on seven even. I was on seven for a while. And there's a differentiation in some of the grasses that is pretty startling. You're like, oh, wow. And it's not like concrete, or it wasn't today. It could get like that where balls are bouncing over like as tall as Ian Woosnam is, but it's very slippery. And I think you saw that on Spieth's three putt on nine, where it's like, and he knew it immediately. It's like, how do you stop? Like what? Yeah. I mean, even the chip, I will get to Spieth, but the chip he had on 15. I mean, how many guys chipped it in the water off the back of 15?
It would have been one more without that flag stick right there.
Yes, it would have. But that's the part where it's like, it was just really hard. Like, I don't know what the putting stats were. We don't have strokes gained stuff, but I bet it was like, it's all relative. So it kind of all zeros out, but it was a really difficult, I thought, kind of like getting your speeds right. That's something that Greg talked about early in the week, right? It's like having touch around some of these greens was just, and the pin locations were hard too. It was hard. It was really difficult, which again is awesome and can create separation at the top of the board.
It was very difficult, unless your name is Justin Rose, who shot a 7 under 65, KP. He stepped on 8T at 2 over, and then he eagles 8. He birdies 9. He birdies 10. He adds two more at 12 and 13. He caps it off with three birdies at 15, 16, and 17. He gains nearly seven and a half strokes on the field on his inward nine alone. I think that the surprise of all of this came from, you know, Justin Rose himself. He said in his post-round interview, he said, "I had no idea where my game was at this week." And he was talking about a quote from his swing coach, Sean Foley. And he said something like, I don't know if you're close, but it's better," which does not elicit a ton of confidence, or at least not the confidence we saw from Justin Rose on Thursday at Augusta National.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. You know, I think that, first of all, it's one of the best, 10 rounds of all time at Augusta National.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it has to be. He gained 9.5 shots on the field. His last 11 holes alone, he gained like 12.5 on the field.
I think Justin Ray said it's one of, I think he said one of 8 rounds at 9.5 strokes gained or better. Mm. And you look at this field, dude, and it's like, I know Tiger's not here, but I think it's top 58 in the world, which is kind of unusual. Usually somebody's hurt, maybe a couple guys, you know, whatever, maybe there's a WD. So you could argue it's the best. I think you could make the argument that it's the best Masters field of all time. Now without Tiger, maybe not, but I think that argument's in play. And to go 9.5 strokes gained in round one, the thing, Rose is not the only one surprised by this. I'm surprised by this. You're surprised by this. He's got 3 top tens in his last 19 starts worldwide, and his numbers are bad. They're just not good. Like he kind of pops up every once in a while, but he hasn't been playing good golf. But then you turn it around and it's like, is this a scenario? And I kind of want your answer to this. Is this a scenario where you get kind of I don't know about an all-time great, but one of the better guys of the last, 25 years, and you stick him in this situation and he just remembers how to do it? Like, is that what we're looking at here over the next 3 days?
Well, I am worried that, like, yeah, this guy, of course, you know, we've got the Olympics, we've got the US Open win. Like, he's not going to fade because of pressure. Like, he might fade because his game isn't as sharp as it was 5 years ago or even 2 years ago when he was the number one player in the world. But, like, I don't think he's feeling the pressure. I think he feels like he stole a couple of shots around Augusta National. Now he has a cushion to go out on Friday morning, probably on the favorable side of the draw on Friday, and maybe put up a number 69, 68 that really gives him a cushion going into the weekend. And I don't think he wilts from the pressure or anything like that. I think if he can just hold it together okay with his game, he's going to be around for a while.
I mean, if he shoots 70 even on Friday, yeah, he's going to be up like 5 going into the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then all of a sudden, I don't know. How about this? Do you think Justin Rose or the field right now? Do you think Justin Rose wins?
No, I'd still take the field. When the course is playing 2.5 shots over par, and it's probably going to play something like that all week long, there were also a lot of big numbers out there, and there's a lot of doubles lurking. There's a lot of triples lurking. This lead, which is currently 4, could go away very, very quickly, especially for a guy who, by his own admission, has not been in great form.
Well, that's kind of what I think too. And that's why I wish we had strokes gained stuff, because I don't know how much to attribute to putting. Even if you attribute all of it to tee to green, though, like, he just hadn't been hitting it good. Like, if this was JT, I'd be like, might be over.
Yep.
Right. And it, but yep, it's not. If this was Justin Rose 4 years ago, I'd be like, might be over, but it's not. And you saw Hovland triple one, you saw Speed triple nine, like, there are doubles and triples all over the yard. So I it's a great round. It's a good story. I like Justin Rose. I think, you know, he's had a lot of heartbreak at Augusta, kind of low key heartbreak, losing to Sergio, getting boat raced by Spieth in 15. And he's been really good there. I don't know how much I'm buying the 7-under right now. It feels a little unsustainable.
Yeah, and his playoff loss to Sergio was kind of ugly. Like, I feel like there wasn't much life in it. It was weird. Let's keep it rolling. Jordan Spieth is inside the top 10. That, by some people's accounts, by the trends, is important. He's 1-under par. He's 6 shots back, but that means he's only 2 back of the guys in second. He makes that triple on 9 where he's in prison on the right-hand side. He hits a tree trying to punch out. He's got to get up and down. It gets ugly after that. And then he gets what I think is probably, KP, a 3-shot swing on 15. He's chipping back down the hill. It hits the stick. It goes down for eagle. If that doesn't hit the stick, it's certainly going into the water. He probably makes bogey. I think he gets a 3-shot swing on that hole alone.
Yeah, that's part of the... people are tweeting at me. I'm like, it's part of the deal. Like, that's why this drug is not FDA approved. Right? Like,
is that the first time we've called this a drug? I think
it is a drug. I mean, my gosh, like, I was with him on 9. I ran down there after I saw where he was. And the whole thing is just, it's lunacy. I mean, he's talking about whether his 4-iron or his 3-wood has a better, like, what the launch angle is over this root and then under a branch. And he's trying to run it up there. And Greller's just like, I mean, everything you see and hear on TV is like exactly how it plays out in real life. Greller's just like, why am I caddying for this guy? Even though I've made a ton of money from doing it, and he's won all over the planet, it's so much fun, and so it's got to be so stressful. I mean, just Spieth talked the entire. I walked with him up 9 as he's making the triple. He talked the entire time up to the 9th green, and you're like, I'm stressed, and I have no investment. I mean, I have no financial investment in it. I have an emotional investment, I guess, but. I don't know. I thought his birdie on 10 was just like, that's what he does, is bounce back from triples with a birdie and get it back on track. So are you buying the inside the top 10 stat? We were talking about this on the way home. I'm the one that's been pushing it, but I'm a little like, I don't know. I don't know if that plays.
It's like the stat is true. Like, I'm not disputing the, like how true and accurate the stat is. I just don't think it matters. I just think if you also compare that to a lot of other events, guys who are inside the top 10 after the first round probably win those events often as well. I don't know if there's much to it. And especially when like this course is hard, man. This is like, we're obviously not getting anywhere close to 20 under par this week. Like there are such big numbers lurking. If somebody goes out and shoots you said it's 70 or a 69, they might gain 5.5 shots on the field. You're telling me someone from 15th can't come back and win this thing?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that, you know, sometimes it's the makeup of who's in the top 10 that matters too. And it's like, is Christian Bezuidenhout going to win the Masters? Maybe.
Unlikely.
It's, you know, we would have said the same about Charles Schwartzel, but I think, like, I don't know, DJ, if he shoots 68 on Friday, he's in it. You know, JT, if he shoots 70 on Friday, he's in it. So I love the stat because I actually do think it's a little bit unique to Augusta National, but I don't know if I'm necessarily buying it outside of Spieth and maybe, I mean, who else in the top 10 do you think can win it? Reed.
What about Hatton? Could Hatton win a Masters?
God, he's played so bad at the majors. I was surprised to see him up there. I really was.
Could Webb win?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're looking at the odds.
I think there's a couple guys who could win this thing.
I think Webb could win. I don't think Zalatoris can win. I don't think Siwoo can win. I don't think Kokrak can win.
I don't think Harmon can win.
I don't think Harmon can win. Hideki's interesting, but I just don't really believe in it. I think Webb can win the Masters. I really do.
If you like that, it's 18-1. He's 18-1 over our friends at William Hill. JT still being hung with a 12-1 number. He's one over, so that makes him 8 back, but it makes him 4 back of second place. And he was it was such a JT round. He was firing darts everywhere. Couldn't make a putt. Got a little couple bad breaks. Like he looked like vintage JT out there, and he shot a one over.
Well, that's if you follow Joe Pita, who's his Twitter handle's hilarious. It's like at Magic Rat SF.
He does a lot of
strokes gain stuff at the Masters with past Masters, and he's been really big on this. JT does not putt well at Augusta. Like, he puts really badly at Augusta in April Masters. He putted well in November. It's a different course, obviously.
Yeah.
So I think it's something to keep in mind. Now, we saw this at the Players, right? Like he outhit his putting. And it eventually like resulted in a 66, 65 weekend or whatever he shot there. It's hard to do here. I think it's harder to do here just because of some of the, I mean, I was on one today, dude, and Rahm hits this shot. I don't know if you saw Rahm into one. He hits it to like 18 feet. I'm like, oh, this is a pretty good shot. He ends up 30 yards away.
Oh, it just kept rolling on him, right? Was that the one?
Yeah, and it didn't even, there was a little spin on it, but it wasn't like, it didn't like zip off the green. It just was kind of spinning a little. And you're like, man, your margin for error, I think generally at Augusta, but especially this week, is a joke. I mean, it is a joke. And that's why you look at Rory and you're like, I don't see it, because the iron play is just not there. And everybody's yelling about Spieth early in the week. I'm like, I understand what you're saying, but the iron play is there. Like, he is hitting his irons the way that you have to hit them on this course in this week. And that's kind of how it played out on Thursday.
Well, we're going to get you out of here real quick with, I know you got other obligations, but we got to talk about the guy. I mean, the cut line is going to be super sweaty tomorrow. I'm thinking we are getting, or I'm not thinking, our friends over at Data Golf projecting this to be about 4 over about half the time. It's kind of hovering between that 4 over and 5 over, depending on how much or how difficult the course plays on Friday, which means Bryson DeChambeau right there around the number. Patrick Cantlay, horrible, has worked to do. Sungjae Im on the wrong side of it. Rory right there. I mean, there are some big names that, unless they go in potentially a different direction on Friday, we're not going to see on the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I think I keep going back to DJ. I thought he was kind of gutsy, and then he just gave it away at the end.
Yep.
I don't think he has his best stuff right now. I'm fascinated by him. Bryson was horrible for pretty much all day.
Can I, this is probably a longer conversation, but I was watching Bryson, and I'm just like, I'm wondering what it is about Augusta National. And I'm wondering if it is potentially his lack of creativity, KP. I think he is by design not creative, right? You have like the engineer or the artist, and he is trying to be 100% the engineer. And this is a course that really requires a lot of creativity, especially this week in these firm and fast conditions. I don't have another reason of why he seems to struggle so much. He was flying balls 15 yards further than the number. Like I don't know what's happening.
That's interesting. I think the counter is like, I think wing foot requires creativity.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a little different because wing foot's not as, it's a different kind of creativity. It's not as undulated as Augusta. Augusta is more like Shinnecock, right? Where it's like, the elevation change is crazy. I mean, you look at 9, you look at 10, like all these different holes. Wingfoot's creativity is more like in the green complexes, that they might be even crazier than at Augusta National. So I think what you're saying is like, maybe like, can he not play hilly golf course? That sounds stupid. And it sounds like a very like simplistic thing. It sounds like an oversimplification of the problem, but like, does he have an elevation change problem? Like with his distance, like, is that not in the algorithm?
It's like if you throw a grain of rice into the motherboard, the whole thing fries, right? It's this little tiny thing, but it's like, he can't compute. I don't know, man. It's producer Jacob actually brings up a pretty good point. Single length irons on hills, no greens books. Those are the two things that Bryson relies on quite a bit.
And Spieth has talked about this. He's talked about how he loves Kapalua and he loves Augusta because they require you to be super athletic and not as he just talks about how he like turn. I don't know if turns his mind off, but he just doesn't think as much at those places. And Bryson, I mean, I don't know if it's true, but he believes that his skill is thinking a lot. And so I think what you're saying is a really good point. And I don't know if I believe in him there. Like we talked about it earlier this week. I was pretty hesitant and I don't really know why. Like I can't pinpoint why, but I think what you're saying is maybe the actual reason.
Well, obviously we're going to see a sweaty cut from Bryson DeChambeau and everybody else, all the big names on Friday. Before we get out of here, the coach, he is going to have some round two matchups on the Early Edge podcast tomorrow. I see in the comments, people are asking about potentially some outrights to hit. I'm still kind of a Paul Casey believer further down the board at 50-1. He bogeyed both 13 and 15, the two par fives, some of the easiest holes we have out there. So for Will Brinson, if you want to go really, really deep, my guy, I'm still a believer in Paul Casey at 50.
What about Morikawa? Can you pull that back up, producer Jacob? Morikawa at 33. I was talking to somebody today who was like, Colin Morikawa's not going to win the Masters. Like his skill with like on these greens is just not there. I don't know if I'm in on that take. Like I think he's somebody who can out hit his putter for the most part. And just make enough. I don't know. Maybe that's dumb. I think he's interesting. He finished it. I think he shot 73 as well.
Yeah, I would wish poor play on Justin Rose, but if he wants to go out and shoot like a 2 or 3 over and just open this thing wide up on Friday heading into the weekend, I'm here for it.
I think he will at some point. Even the way he was talking, you're like, I don't know if he believes he's going to win the Masters.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked like he had stole something. He was a kid. He looked like he was almost embarrassed at the score that he put up because nobody saw it coming. It was unbelievable.
Hey, what's Rahm at? Is he even?
John Rahm is at, yes, even par. He's T13. He's 3 back of second.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. He hit it pretty good.
He's 12 to 1.
I followed him. I followed him and Rory and Xander for a while, and the Rory stuff is just like, what are we doing? I don't know. It has to infuriate. I mean, I watched them hit on 8, and he just, Rom hits a bomb, Xander hits just a laser, and then Rory's just it's more impressive than those guys, and those are two of the best drivers in the world. And you're like, he's about to shoot 39, even after mm-hmm. hitting like that. And it's just got to be so frustrating for him to try to get around that place with just a not great game from the fairway in. I mean, he's just he doesn't hit it. I mean, it looks a lot better than Spieth, but he doesn't hit his irons well enough to contend there, at least right now. I think he has the ability to. But it's not there right now, and it's just got to be frustrating for him.
It's all about getting the ball in the cup at the end of the day. We'll keep a close eye on everything moving forward. Obviously, we'll be back after each and every round of the Masters to break it all down. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob doing all the hard work behind the scenes. Let me thank Kyle Porter joining us from Augusta National. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS or in your favorite meme. You can find me at Rick Rungood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. Men's National Team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast, and I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.